Welcome back to the podcast. Over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be playing some sermons that I gave from John chapter 13 and 14. In these two chapters, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. These disciples, they've spent the past 3 years with Jesus. They've seen him teach. They've seen him perform signs and wonders. They've seen him even raise people to life. But now, he's leaving. And here in these chapters, the disciples are asking Jesus their final questions before he goes. And when we think about it, those questions about Jesus' absence, well, they still affect us today. Our situation is not that different from the disciples. It's not that different to John's readers. What do I mean? Well, Jesus says in these chapters, things for when he's gone. And that is the same situation we're in, isn't it? Jesus hasn't returned yet, so we're in the same situation. So as we look at these passages together, we should be on the edge of our seats. Jesus is saying these things with you in mind. Isn't that amazing? He's talking about things that affect us now. So let's hear these questions and hear the answers that Jesus gives.
Exodus chapter 19, verse 9 to 20.
The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come with you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you, will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Make them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for them around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds like a long blast may they approach the mountain. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with the smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, as the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain.
The next reading is from John 14, starting at verse 8 on page 1082. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the work I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And after I do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realise that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come to your word now, that you would be speaking to us through it. Would you strengthen us where we need to be strengthened? Would you challenge us where we need to be challenged? And would you correct us where we need correcting? Please guide my speech as I preach, and help us all to be hearing what you want us to hear this morning. Amen. Well, we're back in John 13 and 14 this morning, and this is the third Sunday that we've been here. We're looking at the questions that Jesus' disciples are asking him on the eve of his trial and execution. Jesus is just about to leave these 11 guys and go to the cross. And what we have here are the final questions, the questions before he goes. Questions about what life will be like between Jesus leaving and Jesus returning. And as we've seen, that is the time period that we are living in now. Jesus hasn't returned yet, so the things that are said here still apply to us. Jesus is still saying things here that apply to us today. Now, last week we saw Thomas's question, didn't we? He was the practical guy. How can we know the way to God? And what did Jesus say? He said, he is the only way to God. And he finished, didn't he? Have a look down at chapter 14, verse 7 with me. He finished that statement by saying, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. It's my turn to have the helicopters come around. You see, knowing God, seeing God, is something that can happen in the here and now through Jesus. That was a huge, amazing statement, wasn't it? And it leads us to the next question. Well, I say question, it reads more like a demand, doesn't it? Just have a look at John 14, verse 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Wow, isn't that a great thing to say, at least on paper? Just show us the Father. Give us more God. If Philip was in our Sunday club or was in one of our growth groups, we'd probably be beaming at him for asking that question, wouldn't we? Throughout John's gospel, Philip has been the come and see man. Right from the get-go, in John chapter 1, Philip was the one who wanted to bring his friends to see Jesus. Philip, he just wants to see the sights. Show us the Father, Jesus. That'll be enough for us. Or you could say, Philip is asking the question, is there something more to see? Is there something more to see? Have the disciples got enough? Have we got enough? We're always interested in whether there's going to be something more, aren't we? Are there going to be more helicopters? Thanks to Marvel, we hang around in the cinemas now, don't we? Waiting to see if there's going to be something after the credits. Big companies like Apple, they've made a thing out of announcing something else at the end of their conferences. They finish with the words, one more thing, to big applause. We open cards from family members, and then we check the envelope just to check there isn't anything else left in the bottom. We love the idea, don't we, that something new, something better is going to come. Something that's going to change the game. Something that's going to be revolutionary coming in from around the corner. When we turn to the Christian life, do you find yourself doing the same? Perhaps you've only been a Christian for a short while. You've heard the amazing news of the Lord Jesus, but now you're wondering, well, what's next? Is there something more? Perhaps you've been a Christian for years. You know the gospel, but you have FOMO. That's fear of missing out. You wonder if you're missing out on something. Is there something more to be had? Have you got it all?
Sometimes in our lives, we can feel distant from God, can't we? We feel like our spiritual lives, they could do with a pick-me-up. Is there something I could just have? Is there an experience I could have that I just haven't had yet? Do I have enough? Is the Christian life like eating at a fancy restaurant and finding out that what you thought was a starter was actually the main meal? Good answer. The disciples Jesus is speaking to this morning, they have seen many, many things over these 3 years. They've seen water into wine. They've seen the feeding of the 5,000. They've seen even the raising of the dead. But is that it? Now that Jesus is leaving, have they seen it all? But what comes next? Is there something else to see after the credits roll? That's why Philip says what he says in verse 8. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Is there something more to see, Jesus? Just show us the Father, Jesus, then that will be enough for us. Take us up another level. You know, something like that scene we read earlier on Mount Sinai. Something of that awe and majesty. Give us a full-bodied, face-to-face encounter with God. That's all we ask for, Jesus. Just a little bit more, and we'll have enough. Perhaps we feel similar. Perhaps we felt similar. Perhaps that's something that we long for. A deeper experience of God. If only I could just see God, that would be the spiritual pickup I need. If only I could see God, then I'd be convinced Christianity is true. If only there was a revealing of God's glory in the skies for all to see, that would be enough. What's next, Jesus? Now you're leaving. Tell us what we can look forward to. Is there something more to see? See, Philip's a keen bean, isn't he? He wants the next level. He wants more gods. But there's an issue. There's a surprise. Jesus isn't impressed. Jesus doesn't like the question. Just have a look at verse 9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" Well, what's going on there? Is there something more to see? Well, Jesus responds by, "What more can there be?" That rhymes, doesn't it? Is there something more to see? What more can there be? I kind of feel like a pantomime. Should we try that? I say, "Is there something more to see?" You say, "What more can there be?" Ready? Is there something more to see? Great. Just have a bit of audience participation there. Because if we get that, if we really have that in our minds, we can see what Jesus is saying here. See, Philip asking for something more, it reveals that he has far too small a view of Jesus. You see, it's not that there's something more to come. It's that Philip has missed what is right before his eyes. Philip is blind. Is there something more to see? What more can there be? That is what Jesus says. If you've seen me, well, you've seen God. Right in the middle of verse 9. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. See, the issue here is that the disciples, they haven't grasped that. So much so, Jesus can say shocking words at the start of verse 9. They still don't know him. That's shocking, isn't it? 3 years in, and the disciples still don't know Jesus. See, instead of Emmanuel, they're saying Emmanuel who? It's like claiming that you have a close friend, yet not knowing what they spend most of their time doing, what they do for a job, where they live. You can't truly claim to know someone if you don't know something fundamental about them. So how does Jesus address this issue? How does he widen the disciples' view of him? What is he saying to us this morning? Well, the first point I want us to see this morning is that Jesus' works have shown God. The first thing that Jesus points to in this passage is his works. You see that in verses 10 and 11.
Is there something more to see? Well, just look at my works, says Jesus. If you're taking notes, point one, Jesus' works have shown God. Let me read verses 10 to 11 for us. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus is saying to Philip that if he simply looks at the works that Jesus has done, he'll have seen the Father. Now, as I said earlier, what someone does, it reveals what they are. Let's try a bit more audience participation, shall we? If somebody drives a red van and they put things through your letterbox, what do they do? Postman, great. If someone was to sit in a high chair at the beach, usually with a yellow t-shirt, what do they do? Lifeguard. If someone was to wear a checked shirt and stand at the front of church, no, I haven't worn one for the whole time I've been preaching, just so you know. You get what I mean though, don't you? Jesus says to Philip, look at what I do. Look at my works and you'll see the Father. So what are the works? Well, to see that, we're going to need to flick back in our Bibles. We're going to go to John chapter 5. That's on page 1068, if you have a red Bible. We're going to go to John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, Jesus is on trial by the Jewish leaders. He's just healed a paralyzed man, and they're angry. They're angry because they claim he's broken the Sabbath. And more than that, they're angry that he has made himself equal to God. And in the midst of that heated conversation, Jesus talks about these works. So what are these works? Well, turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son as they honour the Father. Whoever doesn't honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Do you see that? The Son does the works of the Father. You see that verse 19? Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And then we get the works, verses 21 and 22. Two works. Those works are life-giving and judgment. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he's pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. So when Jesus is talking about works, Jesus is talking about life-giving and judging. There is nothing else in the book of John that is referred to as works like that. That is what we're talking about. And when you really think about it, those really are the A to Z of God's work, aren't they? These are the signature moves of God and of God alone. They're the beginning of God's works, and they're the end of God's works. They're from the beginning of life at the start of creation all the way to judgment that comes at the end of time. There's nothing before that. There's nothing after that. These are it. Is there anything more to see than that? If Jesus is doing these works, then you've seen it all. What more could you want to see than that? Come back with me to John 14. Do you see, Jesus says to Philip, what more can there be? Jesus has shown God to these disciples. Jesus' works have shown God. These are the very works of God himself. These things show God. They are enough. Jesus is saying that
as these 11 disciples sat with Jesus in the upper room, as he says that, they are sitting with God himself. As these 11 disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years, they'd been walking with God himself. They had seen God, they had known God, they'd walked with God, they'd talked with God. Philip was asking for a full-bodied, face-to-face encounter with God. And that is exactly what he had. See, it's really easy to be like Philip. It's really easy to bring people to see Jesus, yet miss who he actually is. But once you really see Jesus for who he is, you won't be after anything more. See, after tomorrow, for these guys, they're going to see all there is to see. In a few hours' time, Jesus will be seen the most clearly as he goes to the cross. It might be this morning that we need to take a longer look at Jesus, that we really need to ponder on what took place at that cross. Because to say that there's something more was really to say that you've missed it. To say there's something more to see was in fact to be blind, like Philip here. To say there's something more to see than those two big things was a failure to see God. Philip might not realize it, but he wants more than God. And we might be in the same boat. If you want something more this morning, well, you might be in danger of wanting more than God. Is there something more to see? Well, what more could you want than the trademark works of God himself? Philip, you have seen God. You have enough. Jesus' works have shown God. Well, that's the big thing to see in this passage this morning. Yet there should be a niggling thought at the back of your minds. Jesus is leaving. These are, after all, questions before he goes. So what's going to happen when he's gone? Is the show over? Will the disciples have enough? Is there going to be a follow-up act? Is there going to be something more? Well, that's where Jesus turns next. Is there something more to see? Well, point two, the disciples will show God. Point two, the disciples will show God. Just have a look at verses 12 to 14. Verses 12 to 14. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And I will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So just because Jesus is leaving the disciples, it doesn't mean that their close relationship with God is going to end. They still have enough. In fact, verse 12, the disciples will continue to do these works, even greater things than these. What's going on there? Well, a lot of ink has been spilled on this verse, verse 12. A number of church movements have started up because of this verse. But remember, what is Jesus doing here? He's telling these disciples that they have enough. So the big thing to see, something that those church movements, they did not see, unfortunately, is that essentially there's nothing new being spoken about here. See, Jesus is still showing these disciples that they have enough. Remember, we saw what these works are. These works are the same works as before. These are the John 5 works. So we're still talking life-giving and judging. That's the works Jesus did. That's not changing. And these works, they're still focused around Jesus. Verse 12 again, because I am going to the Father. Well, that's not changed. But verse 12 does say greater things. So is there something more to see? Well, no, not something more. But there is a development. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. These works, they're the same works that Jesus has been doing, yet they will be greater through the disciples. Or to be more precise, verse 12, through whoever believes in Jesus. See, these things, they're not something new to see, but it is more of the same to see. Let's just pause there. This might be a bit complicated. What is it then that makes these things greater? Well, just remember who Jesus is speaking to. These guys, they're sitting upstairs in a house in Jerusalem. As Jesus went about in his day, he would have reached the local vicinity. But there's a whole world out there needing to hear Jesus' words. Those words we saw last week that take us to the Father. So how's that going to happen? You see, it's not that there's more to see, but instead, because Jesus has gone, more will see. It's not more to see, but more will see. By the same message going out in greater quantity. By the same message going out in a greater way. And that will mean a greater number of people will hear. As people hear the gospel, Jesus' words are going out. As people accept those words, what are they doing? They're accepting the words of life. They're moving from death to life as they hear those words. And that's going to happen more and more as more people take those words out into the world. What I'm saying is this. Every time that a Christian shares the gospel, they are doing the works of Jesus. Every time that you share Jesus' words, you are doing these greater things. As you give someone the opportunity to hear that message, whether they believe it and they move from death to life, or whether they reject it, that is the greater thing that Jesus is speaking about here. If you really get this, you'll realize that is huge. So huge that you couldn't ask God for anything more than that. I mean, anything else we can think of, it just can't compare, can it, to the act of giving new creation life to someone. Can something be greater than taking someone from death to life? No, anything more is going to pale in comparison to that, isn't it? Now that the disciples have seen God, they can show God to others by sharing what Jesus did. Because Jesus has made God known, the disciples themselves can do these greater things by bringing people to know him. And that means that any group that claims there is something more after Jesus are missing the point. In fact, they're missing the punchline. Whether that's another prophet, whether that's another message, whether that's another work, any other thing. What greater thing can there be than someone gaining life through Jesus? Nothing in the here and now can compare to that, can it? So when you see people coming to know the Lord Jesus, when you see churches full in Nigeria, in Brazil, even here in Hemel Hempstead, you are seeing that life-giving work of Jesus. You are seeing the greater things. Philip, remember, he's the come and see guy. He might think that his best moments are behind him. But Jesus says they're only just beginning. As he continues to bring people to Jesus, as he runs down that road in Acts, you might know the story. See, all the best moments, they're ahead of him. Is there something more to see? What more can there be? The disciples will show God. And yet, that's not all. Jesus is going, but verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Our final point this morning, is there something more to see? Third point, the Spirit will continue to show Jesus. The Spirit will continue to show Jesus. Now, hang on a minute. Isn't this the third act? I mean, we've had the Old Testament. You could say that's focusing on God the Father. We've had the New Testament. That focuses on God the Son. Surely what comes after that is what follows the New Testament is a focus on the age of the Spirit. Surely that's something more to see. Just look at the text. Just look at verse 18. Jesus is leaving these 11 men. But he's not leaving them as orphans. It's a way of saying they'll still have enough. They'll still have enough because Jesus promises another advocate. See, this isn't something new, but it does continue through. Have a look at verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You see, the Spirit here is called another advocate. Another. That's a word for something being like something that came before. In this case, another, like Jesus. And this is legal language here. The word advocate, that's speaking in legal terms. An advocate is someone who comes alongside you in court. He is the Spirit of Truth. He's the one who continues the job of making God known, of showing God. See, it's the same task, continuing. And as the Spirit of Truth works, well, the disciples will see Jesus. Do you see that? Verses 19 to 21. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Now, there is some complexity to what Jesus is saying there, but the headline point is this. The disciples will continue to see Jesus. The disciples will continue to know Jesus, even in his absence. How? Through the work of the Spirit. More than that, verse 21, did you see the word there? Whoever has Jesus' commands. Or verse 15, whoever loves Jesus will continue to see, continue to know Jesus through the Spirit. See, these disciples, they're facing the rest of their lives without Jesus. They may be thinking, with Jesus gone, well, what hope do we have of knowing him properly? Without Jesus, well, we just won't have enough. But get this. Jesus going actually allows them to know him better. This morning, we can't see Jesus physically. But through the work of the Spirit, we can truly see who he is. We have enough. As we read his commands, as we hear his words, the Spirit continues his work. As we hear Jesus' words, we can find life or we can find judgment. How we hear him today in his words makes all the difference. Is there something more to see? What more can there be? Thanks, Ratna. In Jesus, you have seen God, and the Spirit will continue to show Jesus. Through the work of the Spirit, the disciples will continue to know Jesus. And a teaser for next week, they're going to bring others to know God too. Well, poor Philip, he has to pick up his jaw off the floor, doesn't he? He's like a man walking through a tube station. Perhaps this has been you. As he walks, he hears the usual sound of music being played. They're doing a pretty all right job, he thinks to himself. But just before he gets to the elevator, he takes a second glance at the busker. And he realises it's the real deal. It's Gary Barlow. Or, if you're younger, Ed Sheeran. Take your choice. You see, for Philip, the man in front of him is far more than he'd originally thought. Philip has gone from asking for a full-bodied, face-to-face encounter with God to realising he's had that all along and more. The disciples, they needed a bigger view of Jesus. And that is what they've been given here. So as they realise what they've seen, what they've known, God in Jesus, they can know that they've had enough. They can know that they now have an important job to do. So as they're lying in their beds at night, thinking over what they've seen, what they've heard, they'll know that they have seen, that they have heard God at work. As they've seen the life-giving words of Jesus in action, as they've witnessed the judging work of God at play. And those works, they'll only continue in Jesus' absence. Because Jesus has gone to the Father, those works will continue as these 11 men pass those words on to others around them. The disciples have enough. Philip, remember the come and see guy? Well, he can bring more people to Jesus. This is only the beginning. Not that there's something more to see, but instead, because Jesus has gone, more will see. And as I always finish, well, nothing's changed really, has it? Nothing's really changed. Jesus is still with his Father, and so that's still true today. So do we do any better than the disciples? Do we still look for something more? Do we still look for a third act? Do we still look for a post-credit scene? If so, brothers and sisters, we need to have our jaws dropped to the floor, like Philip. We should realise that seeing Jesus means seeing God, that knowing Jesus means knowing God. Though we're 2,000 years later, nothing has changed. We can truly say this morning that we have seen Jesus. Through the pages of John's Gospel, as these disciples have passed on that message, we can hear those life-giving, those end-time judging words. And we can be part of those greater things as we pass on those words to other people. And through the ongoing work of the Spirit, we can see Jesus as he continues to make Jesus known to us and to those we speak to. Is there something more to see? What more can there be? We have enough. So let's open our eyes, shall we? And let's take a better look at the Lord Jesus. Let's pray that we will be doing that, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that we would have a bigger view of Jesus. Would we not be looking for something more than we already have, but instead realize what we have already? Thank you that we can be part of your work as we continue to share Jesus' life-giving words with the world around us. Help us to truly know that we have enough and to gladly get on with the task ahead of us. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, you can send them to podcast@david-couch.com. See you next time.